It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The massive consumer electronics trade show regularly draws upwards of 160,000 people, and it launches officially today in Las Vegas. CES always has a mix of things that you actually might want and things that you will never, ever need. Being able to tell the difference is a challenge even King Solomon might balk at. But we sent Nova Safa to Las Vegas to try. He is there now and joins us to do a little bit of trend spotting. Hi, Nova.
Hi, Ben.
All right, so what's the weirdest thing you've seen so far? Tell me.
Well, how about a monitor? You stick it on your baby, sort of like a nicotine patch.
Uh-huh.
It keeps a constant watch on the temperature of your baby. Let's say your baby has a cold, and sends alerts to a mobile app. And so you might ask, why in the world would anyone want a Bluetooth baby thermometer patch? Well, I asked Sean Duberbeck. He's the head economist for the Consumer Electronics Association, and that association puts on CES, and here's what he had to say.
That's the beauty of technology is, though, we see it at CES, it's new, it's shocking, and then over time, we warm up to it as the technology improves and as consumers get more comfortable with what it will mean.
So we've been hearing at least all last year about the Apple Watch since it was announced in the fall. Is that impacting some of the gadgetry that you're seeing at CES at all?
Indeed it is, and what's kind of amazing that it is because Apple isn't here. But nevertheless, the organization that puts on CES is predicting a 474% increase in revenue from smartwatches this year. Also, just the general wearables market. You know, there's a bunch of different companies trying to break into that. There's one that's positioning itself as a fashionable alternative, a digital wristband that's very fashionable, aimed at women. So that's one side of the spectrum. The other side is a digital EKG meter that attaches to a person's chest. That's meant for the serious athlete to track stamina. So you see kind of a wide breadth from one end of the spectrum to the other.
You got to tell me this. Is this going to be the year that I get my awesome connected car that does everything for me, including drive?
You know, driverless cars are a little bit far off, but BMW is showcasing a technology here which basically allows its car to park itself in a parking garage using sensors and cameras. You get out of the car and it just goes. The top 10 auto companies are all appearing at CES this year. Cars are increasingly getting connected, and that's expected to be about a $14 billion business this year.
Well, we'll have to see how it all plays out. Nova, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
One of the biggest announcements so far this week at CES has to do with the smart home and the so-called Internet of Things that may or may not be in all of our futures. Google's smart thermostat and smoke alarm maker Nest says it'll now work with a bunch of other smartphone device companies. One of those companies is called Kwikset, which makes a smart lock for your home called Kivo Plus. Tony Brown is the senior electronic systems engineer for the Kivo lock system.
So when a user is leaving their home and locks a Kivo lock, what's going to happen is their phone will now automatically prompt them to set their Nest to away mode. And that will adjust their thermostat to a lower energy saving temperature customized by that individual user.
And when the user comes back and unlocks the front door, Nest will know to crank the heat again. Worth noting that Samsung, a keynote presenter this year, unveiled more of its connected home system called SmartThings. The competition, one might say, appears to be heating up. Sorry, guys, had to do it. It doesn't take a clairvoyant to know that personal online security is a growth market right now. More and more, that online security has to start with a mobile device. Last year, mobile usage among adults grew 23%. That includes everything from phone calls to watching video and accessing or storing data. A lot of that data is sensitive, which is why I recently had a conversation with this guy.
You know, if you need to whisper in someone's ear from 1,000 miles away, I can help you with that.
That's Phil Zimmerman. He's a famous cryptographer who invented one of the most popular forms of email encryption called PGP, or Pretty Good Privacy. These days, he's talking a lot about his new company called Silent Circle. It does email encryption, but also encrypted phone calling. And it's got a sleek-looking mobile device of its own called the Black Phone. More and more companies are looking towards the consumer market in mobile security, as Sam Harnett reports.
Vic Hyder is a former Navy SEAL, and he doesn't like the idea that his phone could leak his data. Basically, that someone could be spying on him. So he's talking to me on his black phone.
And therefore, I'm encrypted between my phone here in New York to our servers in Canada.
Haider is the chief strategist at Silent Circle. The software firm has partnered with a Spanish smartphone company to release the black phone. No, not a BlackBerry, a black phone, which is as secretive as it sounds. The phone encrypts communication, and it comes with special apps that don't send data to marketers. In the past, customers have mostly been CEOs, government officials, and celebrities.
Shaq just tweeted recently he got his black phone.
Now, though, companies are buying black phones for their employees, and everyday people can order them online. Samsung is also offering more secure phone options. It's a growing market, says Tyler Shields, an analyst at Forrester.
I think the global consumer is starting to recognize with leaks of these private photos of celebrities and other highly sensitive pieces of data that security and mobility is an issue.
But most regular people aren't losing their sensitive data through hacks. They are losing it through their apps.
Almost 99% of free apps collect some user data.
Domingo Guerra is the president of App Authority, which assesses app security. He says on the whole, apps are not getting better at protecting data. Some are so faulty, he says, developers don't even know what information is being collected and transmitted to third parties. Of the 3 million apps his company has surveyed, he says only a fraction are secure.
Because most apps are free or really cheap, developers are almost encouraged to collect data and find ways to monetize that.
If that doesn't change, Guerra says we can expect to continue leaking data, regardless of what device we use. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Okay, we're done for today. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.